Well, good morning again, church.
Morning.
It is good to see your faces out there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't need to beat on my chest like I did last week, right? If I haven't got a chance to meet you yet, my name's Pastor Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here at New Hope Church. And man, God has just been stirring in the hearts. We've got new people coming in every week. We got baptisms. Come on. Baptisms coming up. People show an interest in what God is doing here and getting plugged in, and it's amazing. And I got to say it again, I got one extra announcement for us, that this week, Thursday at 6:30, is our congressional annual business meeting. I think I said that right. I'm looking at Vinette because she makes sure I say it right. I probably still bombed it, but it's a time where we get to reflect on what God has done in the last year and kind of reflect on and be praying about what God's going to do in the future of our church. And I've got some really cool things to share with you. I know Crystal's got some cool things she wants to share with everybody with the kids ministry. And God is just, I love it because God never does the same thing the same way every single time, which that keeps things exciting, right? We can never guess or think what God is going to do. And I'm glad that you're all here this morning, because knowing that we've been in the book of James, verse by verse, and he is just in our faces, is he not?
Yep.
He is in our faces, and he's challenging us, and he's like, you know, today is another one that's really in our face. I was like, you know, I'm going to try to bring it down a little bit more, maybe. You're supposed to say no, Pastor. No, Pastor, bring it. Okay, that's what I want to hear. Bring it. And so today, we're going to bring it. We're going to talk about some faith and works. We know that works does not earn us anything. It does not earn our salvation. That's why we believe the moment you get baptized, you're not being baptized for salvation. You're being baptized into Jesus' message. You're being baptized into his likeness. It's a representation of you dying to your old self and being raised again to new life. Like when Jesus died on the cross, went into the tomb, and came out 3 days later. It's a representation of that. And so, I named today's sermon, Faith That Moves, More Than Words. I've done this a little bit different because I couldn't. We're going to go verse by verse, but I have to. I had to take sections of it because it all kind of goes together. So I'm going to read through a whole section first, and then we'll break that down verse by verse. We're only going to make it through 12 verses today. 12 verses. This was supposed to be a 6-week sermon. We're on week 4. We're in chapter 2. And we've got to get through chapter 5. So this might be a 2-month sermon series going through the book of James. Are we good with that? I think we're good with that. I'm excited. So, man, I thought about calling one of our awesome construction guys. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do a stage like presentation. Because I like doing stage props. I haven't done a lot of them yet. But I wanted to get like a balance beam all the way up here. And a wheelbarrow. So you guys could laugh at me. And I was going to try to walk this wheelbarrow across the stage. We'll see. And I, you know, just imagine with me, like I make it all the way across the stage with this wheelbarrow balancing on this thing. And I get off and I look at you all and you go, I did it. Do you believe I could do it again? You guys would start cheering, right? Go, we believe we can do it again. Until I look at somebody in the stage, I said, okay, get in. I'm going to push you on this balance beam with you in the wheelbarrow. Just like it is now, everybody goes silent. Especially the person that I called out. Our faith is like that sometimes. We like to stand on the sidelines and say, we believe. We believe. Until it's tested. And you've got to get in it and go. Our faith is just like that sometimes. We say that we believe. It's another step to step into the wheelbarrow. That's exactly what James is going to talk about and unpack as we go through this. Faith isn't just words. It moves. It acts. It risks. It takes risks. We don't stand on the sidelines saying, oh, I believe, without stepping into the risk. Because that's not faith. Those are just words. And honestly, this is where so many people get stuck. We say we believe in God, we sing the songs, we pray the prayers, but when it comes down to it, when he asks us to step out and trust him, we completely freeze, we hesitate, we get scared. James is going to make this crystal clear for us. Faith that doesn't move isn't faith at all. Today, we're going to wrestle with this idea. What does it mean to have faith that actually works? A faith that is alive. Because if your faith isn't changing the way you live, maybe it's not faith at all. Told you. Hey, if you're new here today, I appreciate you guys coming. We've been diving in some good stuff that challenges us. You know, I'm not one of those people to say, you know, give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. Nope, that's not me. When we give our life to Jesus, there's transformation that happens in our heart. That the way we've done things, the way we've raised our children, the things, the mistakes that we've made them because we decided we wanted to do things our way versus God's way. And when we do things his way, it protects us from a lot of things. So we've been in the book of James. It's been fun. It's been challenging. But here we go. Are you guys ready to get in the wheelbarrow?
Amen.
Or are you going to watch from the sidelines? I should have brought the balance beam in the wheelbarrow. James 2, 14 through 17 is where we're starting. It's where we're picking up from last week. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother and a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let's start with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? James doesn't say if someone has faith. He says if someone claims to have faith. We all claim to have faith. It's different. Because it's just claiming, you're just saying something. It's different. We say that what we're believing isn't actually the same. Let me say that again. Because I got a really good point right after that. If someone has faith, he doesn't say if someone has faith. If someone claims to have faith, That's different. Saying we believe isn't the same as actually believing. The real question is, how does your life prove what you believe? Take a person who loves football. You know that person loves football. Why? Because they probably wear their team hat. They probably wear a jersey. They probably got a sticker on the back of their car or something. They are claiming that this is their team. How often do we run around, put our heads down, see people, and never claim the name of Jesus? We might wear a little cross on our neck to show that. But do our words and our actions show what we believe? It's funny because both Judas the Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, believed. Peter believed in Jesus. They spent years with Jesus. They walked with him. They listened to his teaching. They saw miracles. They even performed miracles themselves. Both claimed to follow Jesus. But when the moment of testing came, their actions revealed what they truly believed. Judas claimed faith. He looked like a disciple. He talked like a disciple. But when it came down to it, his heart was never truly with Jesus. He betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins. This faith was superficial and just words. Now, Peter had real faith. Even though he stumbled and denied Jesus 3 times in a moment of weakness, his heart was still chasing after Jesus. His failure led to repentance, and his faith moved him to action. He went to preach at Pentecost. We're an AG church. We have very high regards for Pentecost. He went to preach at Pentecost. He stood before rulers. He was thrown in the jail. He was threatened. And eventually he died for sharing the gospel of Jesus. What's the difference? One had faith that was just words. The other had faith that acted, repented, and endured to the end. James is telling us, don't just look like a disciple. Live like one. A faith that never acts is no faith at all. Jesus has something to say about this. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's tough, huh? It is so important that the moment we give our life to Jesus, we stop doing things our way. You give your life to Jesus. We had some people the past couple weeks give their life to Jesus. And guess what? They're the ones getting in that tank to be baptized. That tank is obedience. It's them living out their faith. I say I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to do. I'm going to walk this out. People can come into the church all day long and raise hands and say, I give my life to Jesus, and walk out on a Sunday after service and their Monday looks no different than their Tuesday and their Wednesday and their Thursday, and sometimes Friday even looks worse than their Monday because it's the end of the week. But then they come back to church on Sunday and put the mask on, thinking that coming to church is going to save them. That's not how it works. It's not just about saying the right words. It's about how we live. Verse 15 and 16 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? James gives a clear life example right here. If a brother or sister is in need, no clothes, no food, and instead of helping, you throw out some nice religious words, be warm, be well, I'm praying for you. What good is it? It's a joke. It's a joke, church. It's like watching somebody drown in the water saying, hey, I hope you can swim. I hope you figure it out. And never jumping in the water to save them. What good is it? And this is where it gets even personal. How often do we do this on a daily basis? I'm guilty. I'll be the first to say it. We see people hurting, struggling, broken, and we just say, I'm praying for you. Now get me, prayers are good. But if you have the ability to help that person and you don't help that person, where is your faith? John, 1 John, the Apostle John says in 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Real faith isn't just about feeling bad. It's about doing something. We need to wake up, church. James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. James doesn't say faith without works is weak or struggling. He says it's dead. It's lifeless, non-existent. If the body has no pulse, no breath, no movement, it's dead. And if faith has no obedience, no sacrifice, no love, it's dead. This is what separates true discipleship from a casual believer. Look at the early church in Acts 2 and on. They sold their possessions. They shared everything. They fed the poor. They took care of the widows. Their faith wasn't just talking. It was radical action. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? If we claim and say Jesus is Lord of our lives should prove it. How alive is your faith? What is your faith actually producing? A couple questions for you. Are you just saying the right words, or do your actions back it up? When you see a need, do you step in or just offer good wishes and prayers? You got to understand, faith isn't just a belief, it's a lifestyle. We talked about it a couple weeks ago that your faith doesn't grow stronger unless it's tested, like working out when you go to the gym and there's resistance against it, then you get stronger. James 2:18-19 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good, because even the demons believe and they shudder. Can't wait to break this one down. 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James is cutting through every excuse you could throw out there. Well, I have a gift of prayer. I have a gift of this. I have a gift of... None of these gifts that you think that you claim are any good unless you do them. He's getting through the excuses. Some people will say, well, faith is my thing. Deeds are your thing. We all have different gifts. But James is saying, no. That's not how this works. You can't separate faith from action. If you say you have faith, but there's no evidence in your life, who is anyone supposed to believe that that faith is real? Thinking about it like this. Imagine someone telling you, imagine me telling you that I'm a world athlete. But I don't go to the gym. I'm still praying about it. What if I told you I was a world athlete, famous, all these things, but my actions don't show it? I'm not going to the gym. I'm not eating the right food. Because I like food. Tacos today. And I don't do any of these things, but I claim to be a world athlete, and my life doesn't represent me going to the gym, on a diet, doing all these things that would show the evidence of me being a world athlete. Would you believe that? If my life doesn't show what I'm telling you, then it's false. Because their actions don't back up the words. Our faith backs up what we believe. Our deeds back up what we have faith in. If I say that I love Jesus, and what James is breaking down here, if I say that I love Jesus and I see somebody in need and I don't help them, how can the love of God be in my heart? How can I call myself a disciple? Because Jesus says, do what I say. You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. James is saying the same thing about faith. Faith isn't just something that we say, it's something that we live. James is going to lay it out right here on 19, verse 19. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Let that sink in for a minute. Guess what? The demons have a good theology. They know who God is. They believe in His power. They even tremble at His presence. But are they saved? No. Even though they believe and they know who He is, they're not saved. Think about that. Why? Because belief alone isn't enough. That's proof. James is laying it out there. This is where a lot of people get it wrong, I think. I believe in God, so I must be good, right? James is saying, no. Even the demons believe. And here's the scary part about them believing. At least the demons have enough sense to shudder and fear in the presence of God. Some of us don't do that. Demons believe in God. But here's the thing. They don't obey Him. This is where we have to ask ourselves some really hard questions here. Do I just believe in God or do I follow God? Is my faith just words or is it changing how I live? Am I any different from demons? Jesus didn't say admire me, He said follow me. Don't admire me from a distance on a Sunday morning in a church and hear a message and go about my business. He says follow me. He didn't just call us to believe in Him, He called us to obey Him. John 14 and 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love Jesus, you will do what He's asking you to do. And I'll go back to the thing. Our faith is like a kite. It's not, when Jesus says to do these things, it's not to hold us down. It's to allow us to fly. The kite can't fly without an anchor of the string. You cut the string, the thing's going to go get stuck in a tree or it's just going to fall to the ground. Jesus is that anchor. He wants us to fly. His commandments aren't to hold us back. They're actually to give us life. You can live in freedom when you start listening to what Jesus offers. Real faith doesn't just acknowledge God's existence. Real faith doesn't just acknowledge God's existence. Remember, the demons believe, but they're not saved. It submits to his authority. It moves us to love, to serve, to sacrifice, to obey. Does your faith go beyond just words? If someone examined your life, what would they see? Would they see faith in action? Do you just know about God? Or do you actually intimately know him? Is your faith the kind that even the demons claim? Or is it the kind that leads to obedience? Faith without obedience is just dead religion. But faith that follows Jesus, that is life changing. We need to be a people. We need to wake up, church. We need to be a people whose faith is more than just words, and we need to start living this out. There are hurting people in our community. There are hurting people all over the world. And when we give our tithes and we give back to God what's already his anyway, a piece of it, you take one person who gives above and beyond and you take one person who gives very little. It doesn't matter when you've got an army of believers believing the same thing and they all throw things in together. Imagine the community that could be transformed because of it. Imagine the missionaries that can do their things across seas. Imagine the upgrades we can do to the building to make more room for more people to come. Imagine what God can do if everybody got on the same page and had that same kind of faith. We need to be a people who are more than just words. We need to live this out. James 20 through 24. You foolish person. I didn't say that. He said that. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our faith in Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that saying, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, that person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. Verse 20, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? James obviously is not sugarcoating it here. He's calling out those who think that their faith exists without works. He's calling out those who think they have faith without works. And he calls them a foolish person. He's not being rude here. He's being real. It's foolish to think that faith that does nothing is actual faith. Faith isn't just having good intentions. I've talked about that several times. A good intention is still a bad intention until you act on it. Oh, I knew I should have gave that homeless guy $5. Or I should have prayed for that guy. Or God put something in my path, but I decided I wasn't going to get in the wheelbarrow. And I was going to stand on the sideline and be like, pray for somebody else to pray for him. God, place somebody in his life that can minister to him. Don't do me. Don't place me there. I'm praying for him that you would place somebody else there. Faith isn't about having good intentions. It's about movement. It's about moving. It's about obedience. If our faith never pushes us to step out, to trust, to sacrifice, again, is it real? James is saying, you want proof? Let's look at Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he was offering his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. That was verse 21 and 22. Abraham didn't just say he trusted God, he showed it in a way that we could never show it. Think about it. God asked him to offer up his son Isaac, his miracle child, a promised child, to sacrifice him. That made absolutely no sense, and it still doesn't make sense to me today. Because I couldn't do that. But Abraham didn't argue. He didn't stall. He didn't just say, God, I trust you, and stay at home. Oh, we do that a lot, right? We talked about that, I think, last week. We say that we trust God, but then we get to our own devices and we decide that we're going to take matters into our own hands. God, I'm praying for a miracle, but I'm going to go ahead and, while I'm waiting, I'm going to go ahead and move some things around and make it work. That's not trusting in God. That's not having faith in God. God, I trust you, but I'm going to stay at home. Abraham didn't do that. He moved. He took Isaac up the mountain. He built the altar. He even raised the knife. And at that moment, God provided. In that moment of faith, God provided a ram. Abraham's faith wasn't just belief. It was obedience. James says that his faith and actions were working together. That's key. Faith isn't just believing the right thing. It's doing the right thing. I need to say that again. Faith isn't believing in the right things. It's doing the right things because of what we believe. It's easy to point when somebody does their own sin. We believe that that's wrong, but then we find ourselves sometimes doing the same thing. I might have used this one before. How many people in here has got a speeding ticket? But when that person comes flying around you, driving like a maniac, you're like, I hope there's a cop right there ready to give him a ticket. You got your own ticket. You do it too. We're pointing fingers at other people when we do the same things. Faith isn't just believing in the right things. We know that speeding's wrong. It's doing the right things. Even though we know speeding is wrong, we don't speed, and we don't. Then guess what happens when you don't speed? Usually don't get a ticket. If you didn't know that, now you do. Because I've seen a lot of hands go up with tickets. James says Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. And that's huge. It means that faith isn't just fully formed. It means that faith isn't fully formed until it's tested. And remember I said a couple weeks ago, your faith can't be trusted until it's been tested. Your faith needs to be tested. It needs to be stretched. It needs to be proven in action. It's one thing to say that we trust God for everything, and it's easy to go about our own ways. But real faith shows up in the hard stuff, because that's where it's tested. And because Abraham acted in faith, he was called a friend of God. That's huge to get that in the Bible. It means Abraham was up there with God. To get his name in the Bible and be called a friend, that's huge. It's incredible. Faith that obeys, that moves, that sacrifices. That's the kind of faith that brings us into a deep relationship with God. God, I don't want just heaven. I want heaven here. That's the will of the Father. James lands this point hard in verse 24. A person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. He's not saying works saves us here. You have to understand that works don't save us. Salvation is in grace alone through faith in Jesus. Ephesians If you don't know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Because the more we do, look at me, look at me. I saved myself. God doesn't want that right there says that God is not, he's a jealous God. He ain't going to let you share credit for salvation. Not going to happen. If your faith never moves you to action, it was never faith to begin with. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we really believe, we step out when God calls. We trust when we don't understand. We obey even when it costs us something. Where is your faith moving you? Where is God revealing in your life that you need to step out and have faith, knowing that God is going to do something that you can't do by yourself? Is your faith just words, or is it changing how you live? You need to answer that question. When God calls you to something hard, do you hesitate or do you obey? If faith is made complete by action, what step is God asking you to take? Again, maybe you've never been baptized. That is your first next step. Get in the tank. I always say your baptism is your first public sermon. It's the first time that you get to show your love for Jesus without saying anything. It's your actions. Maybe God's been nudging you to serve somewhere. Maybe it's here in the church. Maybe it's in the kids' ministry. Maybe it's as a door greeter. Maybe it's an usher. I don't know what it is. Maybe God is calling you to do something and you're standing back thinking, well, you know, they got it handled. They can take care of it. They're doing a good job just the way they are. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for His church. He wants people living out their faith in action, doing something, getting out of the seats, pressing in. God, reveal, show me who I am. Give me an identity. Give me a heart that breaks for what breaks yours. Maybe it's serving down here at the community center, serving food to the elderly people. Who knows what it is? There's so many opportunities. What is God calling you to do? We need a faith. Faith in action brings transformation. Faith in action brings transformation. James 25:26. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them out in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is good too. Verse 25, James brings up Rahab. And this is shocking. Why? Because Rahab wasn't a patriarch like Abraham. She wasn't a prophet. She wasn't a religious leader. She was a Gentile, meaning not Jewish. And she was a prostitute. And God used her. Funny how God uses those people. Those people. I'm one of those people. I like those people. But here's what really matters. She believed in God and she acted on that belief. When the Israelite spies came to Jericho in Joshua 2, she had a choice. She could play it safe, blend in, and protect herself. That sound like you today? Maybe not. Play it safe. Blend in, walk out. I don't want anybody to ask me about me. Because when they do, I have to lie to them. How's your day going? Oh, it's good. Yeah. Blend in. Or she could risk everything and stand with God and God's people. And she chose faith. She hid the spies. She lied to protect them. She sent them off safely. And that act of faith changed her story forever. Get this. This is huge because it tells us faith isn't about where you've been. It's about where you're going too. We wouldn't be here if we just sat and waited for everything to fall in our laps. We had to step out in faith to drive across the country to be over here. And it's not easy. It hasn't been easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I have faith that God is going to take care of our needs. Not what we want, but what we need. James says Rahab was considered righteous.